Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast, and I am getting kind of used to my dentures a little bit. Jacob and Aki, you're here. How are you two doing?
I mean, I have my teeth, so...
You. Aki, how are you doing? I care more about you tonight.
Well, you know, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but Rally's is really good, and they have the best fries in the world. And
now I want Rally's fries.
Yeah, I got a large fry, an extra large fry. I fucking love their fries. I could eat their fries all fucking day.
Because they're good. They're fucking awesome fries.
Yes, they are.
Jacob, do you have Rally's down by you or a Checkers?
No, but I've eaten at Checkers before, back when I was a kid.
Fries are banging.
Don't remember anything about the fries. I remembered liking the hamburgers, though.
I mean, their hamburgers are good, but most places' hamburgers are good.
Rally's fries, just what the dentist prescribed. Yeah, buddy.
I mean, usually they're not too hard, so, I mean...
It is so hard to chew French fries now, because chewing anything is really hard, because I can't tell if it's being chewed. Like, I don't have that sensation in my mouth anymore that's like, yeah, this piece is small enough to swallow, go for it. I'm just like, fuck it, let's see what happens. Ooh, they survived another one.
Well, you know, you can always fill it over with your tongue. It's not that difficult to figure out. Shit.
Wait until you get dentures, Aki. Mm. One day, we'll all get there.
You could just eat baby food for the rest of your life.
I could, or pudding.
There you go.
Tapioca pudding. You're definitely old.
I didn't say tapioca, chocolate.
The only pudding that exists, as far as I'm concerned, is tapioca.
Yeah, right. I'm more of a vanilla pudding kind of guy.
Of course you are.
I don't like chocolate.
Nerd.
Whatever.
So. Person who doesn't like chocolate, that's blasphemy.
Yeah, my great-grandma said the same thing, too. Like, because I was the first kid that she'd ever encountered in her whole entire life that didn't like chocolate ice cream.
Well, you're not the first, but there's not many of you sick
fucking
freaks.
Weirdo.
I don't like it. Like, it doesn't taste like chocolate to me. It tastes, yeah.
I guess it depends on the brand you get.
Nah, I've tried multiple brands. Mm.
All ice cream tastes like sugar. And I've tried it as like,
you know, like, oh, maybe that, now that I'm an adult, you know, at 37 years old, maybe I'll like it now. Nope, still don't.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, chocolate ice cream doesn't taste like chocolate to me either. It just tastes like sugar, which is why I like it.
You know what I like?
Having teeth.
Game Pass.
Oh, well, there's that too.
There's my segue. That's all I'm fucking building up tonight. Yeah, Game Pass. A lot of games on Game Pass. Coming to Game Pass, leaving Game Pass, all of that fun stuff. Holy shit, bikes going by my house being as loud as they can. Thank you, buddy. You're awesome.
Yeah, we could... We were able to hear that for once.
I was going to say, I could barely hear it. But
really? I could hear it real well.
Oh, no, I could barely hear it. I was more paying attention to Joe and his S's.
Yeah, fuck you. I could say that one pretty good. Fuck you. Jacob Garner, fuck you.
Watch as Joe's like next console buy is just simply because there's no S's in the name.
Switch, like, nope. PlayStation, nope.
Well, no, I meant like the next gen, whatever, whenever that comes out.
He's just going to be a PC player from now on.
Oh,
going
yeah,
back to Game Gear. I could say Game Gear. Virtual Boy, yes, let's do it. A bunch of games coming to Game Pass this week. We got NBA 2K22, Loot River, Trek to Yomi, and Citizen Sleeper.
I saw Purnell playing.
I want to talk about Trek to Yomi so bad.
Wait, am I allowed to say that?
What?
What I saw Purnell playing at your house?
Loot River?
But okay.
It's all out. Right,
all right. Well, I didn't know. You said it was coming. So
I said it's available now.
You know what? What the fuck ever. We've had embargoes after like the game comes out. So
yeah, anyway. I mean, you're doing Trek to Yomi next Tuesday. So
yeah.
Who is me?
No. Her.
Oh, okay. I thought you said
the show in general. Like,
this is news to me. No, but I watched Purnell play Loot River, and that game looks pretty cool. I thought the like whole movable like land pieces. I don't know what you'd call them. I thought that was pretty cool and like an interesting like puzzle element to the game.
I just wonder how well it holds up in the later stages.
What game are we talking about?
Loot River.
Oh, I haven't even looked at that.
We've talked about one game so far tonight, and that's Loot River.
No, we talked about Trek to Yomi.
No, we didn't. Seconds. We're going to be talking about it, but we didn't talk about it. We talked about Loot River. Do you want to talk about Trek to Yomi? That just came out today.
Yeah, I always want to talk about Trek to Yomi.
Well, what do you want to say about it? Like, obviously, you can't review it right now because that's for Tuesday.
Well, we could just say do it today and on Tuesday.
No, we don't have time for that shit. I'm guessing you like it that much, though.
Yeah.
All right. So that should be one that I play over the weekend. Citizen and it'll be Sleeper. Easy too. Citizen kind of Sleeper. Has anyone heard anything on that one?
No.
Nope.
I have not heard anything. Citizen Sleeper. What is this game? Let's look this up right now. Fellow traveler, action adventure, a narrative RPG set in Erlen's Eye, a ruined space station that is home to thousands of people trying to survive on the edges of an interstellar capitalist society inspired by tabletop RPGs. I don't know. That might be a Purnell game.
Yeah, that sounds like a management game. And no.
Yeah, I don't know. Jacob, your thoughts?
I have none.
Okay, good.
I really like the visual design of it, though. It is very cool looking. I don't like management games, but man, it looks really good.
Oh, well, next week we're getting three more games on Game Pass with Danganronpa 2, Goodbye Despair coming.
Woohoo!
Ayuden Chronicle Rising and This War of Mine Final Cut.
I don't know what that middle one is. The last one is depressing, and the first one's fantastic, so that works.
Is This War of Mine really that depressing?
Yes. To me, it was, anyways. It is a sad game about sadness. Basically, the game is Warzone, in a very, very bad Warzone. So it's about, do you want your people to suffer, or are you going to put innocent people through suffering so you can steal their shit and the like?
Yeah.
It gets pretty damn depressing because, like, there might be some old folks who have some food, but they're old. They can't do anything. They also can't really fight against you if you decide to go in there and smash their heads in and take all their shit.
Oh, geez.
It all becomes all about doing stuff like that, whether you're like, these are just innocent old folks. Do I really want to do anything to them? But you really need this shit. It's depressing. I don't enjoy that game. It's a little too real for me.
Ayuden Chronicle Rising might be more your speed. That's like a JRPG style.
Ooh.
Yeah, it is pretty too. They've been hyping this one up for a while. I'm excited to see how it goes. And then on May 12th, NHL 22 is joining console Game Pass.
Can you write that Euden game down in chat for me?
No, never. And then there's going to be games leaving Game Pass, obviously.
No!
Yeah, unfortunately. And there's some good ones leaving. On May 10th, GTA San Andreas is leaving. We knew that was only timed, so oh well. And then May 15th, we're losing a bunch. We are losing Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD.
That's a shame.
Enter the Gungeon, Remnant from the Ashes, Steep. This one's is heartbreaking. The Catch, Carp and Course, Fishing. And then The Wild at Heart. So those are all going away.
Really good games going away. Damn.
Yeah, but there's some good games coming. So that's what's important, that stuff leaves and new stuff comes in, and I'm looking forward to Ayudin Chronicle, and Loot River is out, and you can't shut up about Trek to Yomi, so.
Yeah, and I really want this Ayudin game now.
You're looking it up?
Yeah, I just looked up Chronicle Rising on fucking Steam, and this just, yes.
Jacob, any highlights for you on that Game Pass lineup?
For me, I mean, I'm looking forward to Loot River.
Well, you could play that one now.
Woo!
Yay!
Everyone needs to go play The Wild at Heart before it goes away. It's super cute.
Yeah, Cole was big on that one. I don't think I ever played it, though.
I don't know if I've played it on Xbox. I think I've played it some on Steam, but... it's so pretty.
Games with Gold were announced for May. Last week, we talked about PlayStation Plus. To recap, PlayStation Plus is getting FIFA 22 on PS4 and PS5, Tribes of Midgard on PS4 and PS5, and Curse of the Dead Gods on PS4. On the flip side, Xbox is getting not that much. It's not that good of a month, I don't think. Yoku's Island Express, cute, charming game, but not that big of a headliner.
I'm pretty sure that's been on Games with Gold once or twice before.
No, not Yoku's.
It hasn't?
That one.
Huh. One of them is a repeat. We'll get to that in a second. The other Xbox One game they're giving away is The Inner World, The Last Wind Monk.
Yeah.
Which I don't have, so cool.
Good there, so you win
one. I reviewed that, so I already have that.
And then on Xbox 360, this is a repeat, Hydro Thunder Hurricane.
Yippee.
I mean, it's a good game. Vector Unit's great.
I liked it, yeah.
But there's how many more games we could get? Come on.
We could get all the Splinter Cell games. That'd be pretty fantastic.
That'd be nice.
And all of them are backwards compatible. All the more reason to fucking bring them into it. Whatever.
Oh, maybe when Ubisoft Plus shows up. I don't know. Maybe. And then the other 360 game is Viva Pinata Party Animals.
Eh.
I got them all. So there's nothing for me to look forward to.
Yeah, I think I have all of them as well. I may not have that Yuko's one. I thought I did, but maybe I don't. But I'm pretty sure I have all the others.
I think I have the Viva Pinata, but I think I have it physically, so it works for me on this one.
Yeah, Yoku's Island Express is like a pinball Metroidvania RPG. It's cute. I like it.
Huh.
Our buddy Grant reviewed that one. I miss him.
Well, call and see if he can be on the show sometime.
We're working on it, trying to get him on hopefully next week if his game code starts working. We got him a pinball game to review on the Switch, and the code's not working, so yay!
That's no fun.
Yay! PlayStation Now additions for May. They are getting three games with Naruto Shippuden, Ultimate Ninja Storm 4, Soul Calibur 6, and Blasphemous added to the lineup.
Nice.
All right, so they get some decent fighting games, and I forgot what the last one was already, but I know I liked it.
Blasphemous.
Yeah, there we go. They have some good games. They got in some really good games.
And then next month is when it changes over to the new PlayStation Plus, and we'll see how that goes. Cool. I'm still tempted if I want to do it or not. It's I don't know, $120 for a year is steep, but you get a lot with it. And I'm curious to see what, like, PS1 and PS2 games they have.
Well, isn't that about the same fucking price as Game Pass for a year?
Game Pass is more expensive. Game Pass Ultimate is, like, $180 for a year.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I need to find more of those codes that change gold into Game Pass. I just need more of those.
Yeah.
It's $180. That's so much money.
$15 a month. It adds up.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. But that comes with gold and everything included in it, doesn't it?
Okay. Yep. Game Pass PC, cloud gaming, gold. You get it all with Ultimate. Good stuff. Big news. Embracer Group has entered into an agreement to acquire Eidos, Crystal Dynamics, and Square Enix Montreal from Square Enix. The acquisition includes Tomb Raider, Deus Ex, Thief, Legacy of Kain, and more than 50 back catalog games. Square Enix will be keeping the Outriders, Life is Strange, and Just Cause IPs, and the cost was only $300 million.
Well, that's because Square Enix is filled with fucking idiots who don't know how to manage money. Because, you know, the reason why they're doing this, they've even stated it, is because they want to go more into NTFs, cryptocurrency, and blockchain games.
Yeah.
And guess what? Just 2 days later, analysts had been looking at that crap, and they're like, yeah, this market is fucking crashing now. It's gone. So they sold all this shit in order to join a market that is about to die. I am
good.
So excited for that. I'm so happy. I'm like, yes, put everything you have into it. I want to see you fail.
The reason I say good to this is because Embracer Group got it. And Embracer, they're really good about re-releasing old games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
So I didn't know we could see like some of the Legacy of Kain games re-released. We could see, you know, maybe some of the old Tomb Raiders get a remaster, or Deus Ex get a new entry. Who knows? I'm excited to see what happens. And this brings Embracer Group to 119 development studios.
What I would like them to do, and it isn't realistic, but what I'd like them to do is to make the other half of the last fucking Deus Ex goddamn game.
They
give
might
it to the players for free. Because they already bought half the fucking game. They should get the other half. That game pisses me off. To this day, that game still pisses me off.
You're not getting a free game, you know that.
I know. Well, you know.
But hey, you might see a continuation. I mean, they're bringing back Kingdoms of Amalur. That got new DLC.
This is true. This is true. I'm looking forward to this now, because now I'm hoping I can actually get the rest of that goddamn game finally and have a fucking end. It drives me nuts. It is such a fucking cliffhanger, because you know that it is so clear that there's supposed to be more to the story and they just said, fuck it, no. Oh, I hate it. I hate it.
Oh, man. In other news, Tomb Raider has hit lifetime sales of 88 million units. Tomb Raider's doing pretty good, and they just got sold. So there you go, Embracer.
And the funny part is that Square thought it was a failure because in its first however long, it only sold 8, and they wanted it to sell like 20-something million.
Yeah, well.
They were unrealistic is the issue.
Also unrealistic was Square thinking the Avengers was going to do good. It was reportedly a $200 million loss for Square.
Well, not holy just that, shit. But also the Guardians of the Galaxy. It was both of them, though I don't see how Guardians of the Galaxy lost them any money, but it was both of them.
Well, they lost a lot of money, and apparently that is being transferred to Embracer as well. So I guess the cost is like $500 million after they're taking on that debt.
See, what they just need to do is they just need to close that fucking game and be done with it. Because no one wants a fucking live service game. They just need to stop fucking making them. They're all shit. No one likes any of them, and they're all failures. Why doesn't the industry get this? There's like one successful one, and all the others have failed and have cost a lot of money to fail at.
Yeah, well.
If they had a brain, it would be so great.
Speaking of live service games, People Can Fly confirmed that Outriders did not make a profit in 2021, which is a bummer because I thought that was a good one.
Like, do they expect it to make it one, like to make a profit this year?
I don't know. I would assume they hope so.
If it doesn't, it's just another live service game that failed. I don't know.
I thought Outriders was pretty good.
It's on my list to try. I just haven't had time to fuck with it. Because visually, it looks really cool at the very least.
Yeah, but that is the news I have. Jacob, what news do you have?
Go
ahead. What Sonic? No Sonic bullshit this time.
I mean, I could whip some up for you like right this second if you want me to.
Only real news, please.
Jesus. I mean, it's available for pre-order digitally at this point. It'll run you $20. So
what, the Sonic 2 movie?
Yeah. However, there's that no release date cheap. Yet. Everyone's expecting it to be mid-July, but Paramount hasn't said anything. Oh, and also the trailer for Sonic Prime was released for Netflix.
Is that another fucking movie, or
it's a cartoon show?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be cool. That I actually am looking forward to because I like the cartoon Sonics. That I'm looking forward to.
Jaleel White's not going to be the voice of Sonic, so
I don't care.
I don't know if that matters to you.
No, not at all. All I care about is Tails being in it and it being voiced by the same woman.
Probably not happening.
I know she did the voice
for the character in the movie, so she might.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I think the person who's voicing Sonic's the only one who's been announced, though. So
Carnage sharing some news. I thought you were going to bring this up, Jacob, but Heavy Metal Machines is shutting down. Oh, yeah, down. Shit.
Right.
I don't even know what that is. So
it's an MMO that that we reviewed.
Not an MMO. It's like a MOBA. It released last year.
Oh, wow. That's closing real soon.
It launched in February of 2021. It is, I think, what is it? 4v4 car combat online.
Yeah, well, it's top down, though. Like, it's not like you're driving.
MMO is like Final Fantasy Online.
Weird.
Yeah.
Which is doing really well.
Yeah. But yeah, Heavy Metal Machines going away. All of the achievements are going to be gone. So if that is an incomplete game for you, you have until August 30th to finish up.
True Achievement says it'll take you 25 to 30 hours to 1K it. So
yeah, I don't care so that
get
much.
Get on there and just do it for a week.
Well, I mean, for me, as I had told you earlier, Joe, it's going to be my new Forza Street. So here we go.
Now you better hope people are playing it because it is delisted. If you didn't already get it, you can't get it now.
Well, so.
Big loss.
Carnage, let's make plans.
Aki, do you have any news? Anything you want to talk about?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Are we just going to reviews then?
Yep, because I had a piece of news, but I forgot it a couple days ago at this point. So.
You forgot the news a couple days ago?
Yeah.
So you had no news?
No, I had a piece, and I forgot what it was.
So proud of you.
I only had one, but still...
So proud of you. First game to talk about tonight is Hot Wheels Monster Truck Expansion, developed and published by Milestone. Released April 21st on all platforms for Hot Wheels Unleashed for $14.99. Also part of the Hot Wheels Pass Volume 2 for $29.99. Take racing to a new dimension, extra large. Everything is oversized in this expansion. Wheels, vehicles, jumps, and even the fun. Experience the thrills of driving these epic monsters and unleash a fury that knows no obstacles. Jacob, what's going on in the Hot Wheels Monster Truck expansion? And Aki, what is your question?
How many pieces of DLC does this have? And if you buy them individually, how much does it cost?
A lot.
Feels like we've gone through a ton of these DLCs.
Well, they've had two expansions.
Two expansions. But if you buy like the season pass stuff, like which is $30, you pretty much. I mean,
you save a lot buying the season pass, but it depends if you actually want everything in the season pass, because the season pass includes the expansion, which is cool, bunch of cars, which is cool. And then, like, room customization and building items, which I don't give two shits about.
Well, for stuff like building your own tracks?
Yes.
Yes.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, because, like, so with the monster truck one, you actually get, like, a boulder that swings back and forth and will knock your car off of the track. So, like, you can add that obstacle all over the place. Now, Joe, before I start this, did you play it at all, or am I flying solo?
You're flying solo.
Okay. No, that's I don't care. Anyway. Okay, so with the Monster Truck expansion, as you may surmise, it is involving monster trucks. It introduces them to Hot Wheels Unleashed. And along with it, we have the Motion Capture Studio, which is the new expansion room. So if you remember the last expansion, which was Batman's Batcave, this is a different one, and it's set up with like multiple areas, and I guess it's made to look like a stop motion area. Like, I don't know. Like, it's kind of confusing as to what exactly they're going for. But there's like an area where it's a jungle, and then there's also another area where it's snow, and you can connect it through multiple areas, which that in itself is kind of cool. But there's also some green screens around you, which can get a little confusing. And it makes it hard to figure out where exactly you're supposed to be going. Now, each of the areas in the setting, as I said, they can lead to multiple areas. So think of it kind of like a Burnout Paradise kind of setup, where it's just like the track treats it like as if, oh yeah, you're going to be able to go multiple like different ways to get there. But no, not really. The game is very specific with how it wants you to go, but it doesn't always properly communicate where it wants you to go. And so it's real easy to fly off the table into some green screen area. Or just get reset because you didn't see like the tiny little cones that were set up in the far left area that were supposed to be guiding you.
And, to be fair, that's an issue I had with Hot Wheels Unleashed in general, is there were a lot of tracks where it just felt really hard to know where you're supposed to be going unless you're paying attention to the mini map.
Yeah, and that continues here. Like it, the thing is, though, is that with a lot of those Hot Wheels Unleashed tracks from the beginning, they have edited them. Yeah. they have made changes to them. They've patched them up. And so some of them have been made easier. And I'm not going to lie, like, I really wanted to like this whole area on this expansion pass, but it's just, the expansion. But it's just all the levels felt very cookie cutter, and they felt like it was just like that the tracks being hard was because you couldn't figure out where the heck you were supposed to go. And so it's a lot of, you end up having to do a lot of track memorization. And for me, it just wasn't a lot of fun. And that's playing both with the monster trucks and regular cars on the course. Now you can do either one, whichever one you want to choose, because this does introduce a bunch of monster trucks for you to go with. Now I was a little disappointed that they didn't have like the classics like Bigfoot on there. I thought they would have gotten the license for it. So you get a bunch of these monster trucks, and because of their size, the monster trucks, like, they're not stopped by certain track hazards, like the little...
Two questions.
Okay, what are your questions while I'm trying to think of the word?
can the monster trucks go against normal cars, and if they run them over, do they flatten the other car? Because that would be fucking awesome.
They do
awesome.
Not. I was about to talk about that too. So,
and the other one, how does this play? Because like when you're talking about this game, I'm thinking back to my childhood where you just pushed a button and it went around the track on its own. So I don't know, is this kind of like Forza in games like that, except for you're playing
it's an arcade
as
racer?
Toys?
Okay, it's like an arcade racer, but on Hot Wheels tracks.
Okay.
And it's like Forza Motorsport in that it's track based, not Forza Horizon open world.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. All right.
So, like, there's like little barriers that your monster truck can crash into and won't slow down. Going back to like how the monster trucks are immune to certain things, they also don't get pushed as much by wind. However, like stuff like the boulders which go back and forth, you're still going to get knocked off your ass by them. That being said, it's an absolute blast to take these monster trucks on the regular courses, because I mean they're huge, and you know the courses don't exactly look like they were designed for them, so there's a level of fun to it. At the same time, the monster trucks handling is not great at all, even when you level them up, so be prepared to like flip over a bunch, or just do random, like, you think you're just turning a smidge and it like it just does like a complete jackknife on you. So I mean it's frustrating. I think there's a lot of potential with this expansion. I mean, if you've already bought the season or volume 2 expansion pass, I mean you get it anyway. But as for like whether I buy it or try it, I don't know. I had a lot of fun with the monster trucks themselves, but the new tracks, not so much.
Well, let's take it in two steps. First off, by itself, a $15 expansion that comes with the new tracks, five new vehicles, and a couple of other things that no one cares about. $15 on that. What do you think?
It's not a bad deal. I mean, it breathes more life in. And as I said, the monster trucks, for as crappily as they handle most of the time, they're still a lot of fun. Like I have more fun playing with the monster truck in the trucks in this game than the other monster truck games that I've had to review for this podcast.
Yeah. And then Hot Wheels Pass Volume 2 is $30. That Absolutely. Comes with the monster truck expansion and then a bunch of other cars and goodies. Do you remember Absolutely. what other cars are included in that?
Not off the top of my head, but honestly, just about every single car that they've been releasing so far under Volume 2. Sorry, I had to burp. Like pretty much just this half of the year, pretty much all of them have been excellent cars. So
here it is. 9 vehicles included, including Raphael and Michelangelo from Ninja Turtles, Chun-Li, Ryu, good. And Vega from Street Fighter, and a couple others.
I will say this. Hold on. I will say this. Vega is one of my favorites. It's a speedy little shit car. Not like shit as in like it's a piece of shit, but like, you know, you shit. Like, like it is speedy as hell. And because of how Vega's mask is designed on there, you can actually go right behind other cars and lift them up as you blow underneath them. So it's pretty cool.
Car from Fast and Furious that we wasted $30 on.
Fair enough. However, I will say this. Ryu is one of my least favorite cars. Like, its speed is okay, but I swear to God, any corner that is in, like, a 90-degree angle, or, like, any setup on a racetrack that has a 90-degree angle, that car will manage to find it. I hate it. Like, I just hate it so much. Like, but I love the Vega car. It's fantastic.
Nice. So overall, some good stuff. Hot Wheels is still crushing it with DLC, and hopefully Volume 3 is in the future and has some more cool shit with it.
Volume 3 is slated for this summer. Honestly, I've been having a ball with the game. I mean, I've been playing it literally almost every day since it came out.
We know you don't shut up about it.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you let your kids play it?
They actually don't play it that much. They're really not a fan of it. The tracks aren't as kid, like, despite it being an arcade racer, it's really not as kid friendly as really? Other stuff. Yeah, and it's weird because like we also got Blazing the Monster Machines, which is like a Nick Jr. show. We got the racing game for that. And my kids were still kind of like high off of Hot Wheels Unleashed. And like, so we got them to play Blazing the Monster Machines. They played like 3 rounds of it. And we're like, can we go back to Hot Wheels, please? did not get a children's seal of approval on that one. But yeah, neither of the kids really seemed that hot about the Hot Wheels game. They're more addicted to the Lego games. So, and when they do play Fair racing enough. Games, it's usually like Mario Kart 8.
Cool. All right. Well, moving on. Next game to talk about is PictoQuest, developed by NanoPico, published by Seven Studio, released May 3rd on Xbox One and Series X and S for $7.99. Challenge your deductive skills by helping our two young heroes on their quest to bring the legendary paintings of Victoria back. Look carefully at the numbers on the edges of the grid to stop the sneaky wizard Moonface. Jacob, what's going on in PictoQuest?
So this is the first time I've ever actually played one of these games.
Really?
I know. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew that Chris usually plays this kind of stuff on the Switch. And so since you were offering it up for the Xbox, I was like, yeah, why not? I'll give it a shot. So think of it kind of like Minesweeper, except you also have to consider So it's kind of like Minesweeper, but you also have to consider like what's in like the rows and the columns. As I said, like with Minesweeper, like it'll say like, oh, like there's 3 nearby. But like the number will be like how many is actually in the row or the column. And then there will sometimes also be like a second number, which designates that there's going to be two groups. Like, so like, let's say it's a one and a two, you'll have a one, but then there has to be a space between the two groups. And then the other two are somewhere else on that line. And then you have to also figure out like how the columns are going to work as well. And hopefully I explained that well enough. If I didn't, that's standard. So, but
it's basically Picross. If people know what that game is, there's a bunch of them on the Switch and on the 3DS. It's Picross mixed with RPG elements, and I adore this game.
Yeah, like, well, because you're trying to make pictures with them too. Although sometimes the pictures don't really make sense until like you've won the level, and then like it does this like color transformation thing, and they're like, oh, okay, it was supposed to be a heart, right? Okay, like stuff like that. But yeah, so there, as you were saying, there's RPG elements in them, and the game does take its time to hold your hand, which I really did appreciate, because like the first time I played this, I was like, huh, what did I get myself into this time? And so I'm playing it, and it's like, all right, here's how you do this. And then, all right, we're going to have you fight a monster. Okay. All right. Good job. You did it. Congratulations. All right. And now we're also going to put a timer on this thing too. And it's just like, I'm sorry, what? So it ramps up the challenging factor, but honestly, like it was a pretty chill challenge, which I was kind of surprised by. I mean, as I said, I've never played anything like this before, so I really wasn't sure what to expect. But I enjoyed it. Like, I mean, I could have done without the timer on stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Slightly more chill.
I'm not a fan of timers in games. Like if I fuck up or if I need time, just let me figure it out. Don't immediately, like, ding, you lose. Because I know, like, there's some games on the 3DS, I think, where if you would miss, you get, like, a 2-minute penalty. And then if you miss again, it's a 4-minute penalty. And then an 8-minute penalty. Like, what the fuck? Just let me take this at my own pace. And I don't know. I just...
Yeah.
Anyway, this game's $8, and I think it's worth every penny.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I'd recommend it, especially if you're a beginner to the genre like myself. So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Cool. Official verdict is?
Oh, buy it. Buy it.
Yeah. We just had to, get the official word.
Right.
Next up is X-Force Genesis, developed and published by Cube Games, released May 4th for $6.99. A game that is on Xbox One for $6.99. A game that is a love letter to fans of shmups from the 80s and 90s. X-Force Genesis is a space shooter created from amazing graphics and insane boss battles. Join this epic adventure and don't let the enemies take over the Genesis planet. Jacob, what's going on in X-Force Genesis?
So, like all standard shoot 'em ups, it's a lot of pew, 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 and trying to figure out your enemy's different paths. And this one, honestly, was a pretty chill one as far as ones that I've played. Although I do appreciate the fact that it knows when you're getting a little too comfortable and will start sending out enemies like, oh, he's hanging around the bottom too much. Better send him in. But and then, of course, like, you get boss battles, you get huge capital ships that you have to take down. The capital ships, you really don't have to think that much about, because most of the, like, if they're coming from the top, it's whatever. But if they're coming from below, you'll have to, like, wait and then swing your ship around until you can get to the bottom, like, so you can get behind the turret and then just start blasting it. Which, if you're not quick enough, you might get hit by it. Now, one of the cool things with this game is that you can constantly upgrade your, like, different abilities of your ship. And, of course, it costs money that you get by blowing shit up in the game and collecting power-ups and all that kind of stuff. But then you can go back, like, once you've died, you can go back and replay a level with the updated stuff and then go kick ass again. So, if you're having problems, just grind for a bit on like a earlier level and then go back and try to take on the big one. I thought that was a really nice feature for it. And yeah, I had a lot of fun.
I didn't really love the music in this game. Like, the first time a boss battle happened and it's just like, I'm like, yeah, buddy. Like, I want to know who did the soundtrack for this game because it is banging.
It was pretty good. I do recall that. Yeah.
And
but I had a lot of fun with it. Like all the weapons seem pretty cool. Like I love the like little donut ring things that would just shoot out. I don't know. It just I don't get to play these games that often, so like this was pretty fun and I enjoyed it a lot. It was pretty relaxing and chill as far as shoot 'em ups go.
Nice. And another thing to point out is it's a fairly easy 1,000 achievement points as well. It's basically just killing enemies. Once you kill 2,500 enemies, you've got the 1,000.
There you go.
So there you go. So let's see. $6.99, your official verdict.
Absolutely buy it.
Mighty easy ones tonight. They're just good, cheap games.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Neon Lore, developed and published by PlayStage Interactive, released April 20th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $5.99.
Holy shit, how much did you play?
He played a lot. Calm down. Calm your tits. We'll get to you eventually.
What about my tits? Do they have to be calm?
No.
No, rock on.
My tits aren't calm and not hindered by a brassiere.
PlayStage is going to love this intro. Neon Lore is a first-person freeform exploration game. You'll meet interesting characters and discover what had happened to the human race in the near future. What's going on in this one?
This is a weird game. Like, and it's just like, I like a lot of aspects of it, and there's also a lot of aspects that I don't like about it. And it's just...
helpful.
Like, shut up.
What do you do in the game?
I'm going to get to it. All right. So you're pretty much just dropped off in this like cyberpunk world that doesn't have that very many people in it. And it's all done in like a first person point of view, but it's really like a visual novel. Okay. And so like you're walking up to these people and they're like, they're going to give you like four paragraphs of their life story. And nobody has anything happy to say. It's all like super bleak. I did drugs for 4 days straight, ate my family, and then a lizard ate my leg, and then, like, you know, I shot a cop, and then the cop shot me, and then, like, we became butt buddies, but then he cheated on me with my ex, who was also a lizard. And then my house burned down, and then somebody killed my puppy, like... And then they kicked it through the uprights of like the local like Blurns Ball like field goal. Like it's just tons of this. Like, and so it's just like so you're going through the city, which is then also divided up into different areas. And like so you're walking through and the walking is so slow. And I don't know if this was deliberate. You cannot run. And it's just like, oh my God, please, could I just move? Could I just move like at a brisk pace? Like, would that be really too much to ask?
I like how the feature says, discover the world at your own pace, as long as that pace is slow.
Is ours. Yeah. And then on top of it, let's say that you're playing this game and you're like, oh man, this dystopian future is too much. I have to back out. Well, guess what? It doesn't save your game. Like,
no,
which is oddly okay because like nothing changes. Like, so everyone just stays in their same static position. All of like the little ATM looking things, like, you know, they all say the same stuff. So, I mean, if you need to go back in there, you could just hop in there. But the thing is that the description also said that there's some puzzles, but I don't know what the puzzles were. And if they are there, I don't know. Like,
so this is basically just a walking sim.
Yeah, it's a cyberpunk walking sim.
And it includes four different audiobooks of cyberpunk themed novels.
Yeah, which you could eventually get to and then you could just listen to, which I didn't get to any of them, but I'm assuming that's what the puzzle thing was. But I don't... I don't know. I maybe I read a description wrong for the game, but
no, it mentions puzzles.
Okay. All right. I'm glad because like, I'm just like maybe my reading comprehension's really off. Like,
I'm looking at it. It appears to be a fairly easy 1,000. It takes.
Yeah, but you have to walk around. What it is that you have to walk around and find like all these certain people to talk to, and then you have to get like the stuff. But the other problem is that there are some areas where you can clip into, but then you can't get back out of, which then, of course, you have to restart the game, which then also it didn't matter because like the game just sets you right back where you were anyway. I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in there, but there's also a lot of stuff that need like for the love of God, just fix, like make it so I can walk at my own pace. Like I don't want to have to walk at a snail's pace just to get to like the next area and stuff like that. And also like maybe be like, hey, this is a puzzle. You need to figure this out. So as I said, there was a lot I liked about it, but also a lot that I thought really needs improvement. So
it's $5.99. What are your thoughts?
If you like visual novels, definitely give it a shot. If you're expecting like an experience like Cyberpunk 2077, this is not going to be for you.
I'd say if you're expecting Cyberpunk for $5.99, you should check your expectations, but I'm pretty sure Cyberpunk has been available for
$5.99. Yeah, it has.
Harsh.
I think the lowest sale on it was probably like $4. So.
Yeah.
Hello, Cyberpunk police. I'd like to report a murder.
Burn victim. All right, Jacob, you got one last game to talk about. That is called Samire, released by Game Tomo Company. It released April 6th on iOS and Android for $5.99. Samire is an indie narrative adventure featuring a one-day journey through a picturesque Japanese village. In this enchanted place, a disenchanted girl named Samire meets a mischievous spirit who makes her a deal to fulfill her most desired wish. In order to see this wish come true, she must complete a series of tasks in return before night falls and the special day reaches its end. Jacob, it's been a while since we covered something on mobile. So what'd you think of this one?
It's been a while since I've had to do an iOS game. So this one, it's... I don't know if I'd really call it a visual novel. Like, it's because it's not. Like, because your character walks around and, like, there are, like, little puzzles and mini games throughout, but it's just, it's a lot of you, like, walking around, fetching items, talking to people, and trying to make them happy. And I know that's not exactly the best description, so let me just at least talk about part of the story. So you play this young teenage girl who, her mom is in bed and she's depressed, and like she's been like that for a while. Your grandma passed away not that long ago, and on top of it, your dad has left for the city, and he hasn't been back for a while, and like he doesn't call like when he's supposed to. And at first the game makes it seem like, you know, he's away on his job and like a very important job, but you slowly start piecing things together that mom and dad like aren't together anymore. And on top of it, like your grandma was a really special woman and she touched the lives of everyone and everything that she came in contact with. And so your hope is that, you know, you can just spend like one more day with her, kind of like the movie AI, artificial intelligence.
I haven't seen it.
That. Okay. Well, it's a really good film. You should see it.
No, I'm good.
Damn it, Joe. Anyway, so there's this flower that's in your, or there's a seed that you find, and then you plant it, and then this magic flower sprouts up and is like, yo, I want to go outside, but I can only be alive for 24 hours, and I don't want to spend it inside this pot, so take me outside and I'll help you try to find your grandma. So you go on this mystical journey, and like to meet your grandma again, but you also meet this like huge cast of characters along the way, and a lot of the times you're going to be like trying to make good or bad decisions, or decisions that may help or may not help. Like very early in the game, you had to take money out of your mom's purse. But later on, then you get to use that money to help you pass the river because there's a goose protecting it. So he's just like, geese. He's like, yo, give me $2 and I'll let you go. Fine. But like, you know, there's other stuff too. Like there's a cat who wants something, or like there's somebody who just needs somebody to talk to. And so you're getting a lot of these stories about these people's lives and how this girl's grandma, you know, helped them out. And it's just, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure, and you can decide how, like, obviously how it's going to turn out. And sometimes when you're helping, where you think you're helping, it turns out that you're not at all. And it, you know, it gets kind of bleak sometimes. Like the one that stood out to me was that there was this, animal that I had to help, and it was like, yo, I need food for my family. And so I was like, all right, here's the food. And it turns out like the food somehow wiped his memory. So he has like, so yeah, he and his family are fed, but now he has no memory of his family. Like, yeah, like there's some bizarre stuff in it. The game is only about like, it took me about 4.5 hours to play through, on my first run through. And there is no skipping, like, because I did try to play a new game because it does let you branch out and, like, try other stuff, obviously. But there is no skipping through. So, you know, for an emotionally heavy game, like, you may have to re-experience all of, like, the sadness and the trauma, like, all over again. Now, that's not to say like it's a traumatic game like that Jessica game that I had to play like a while back. But, you know, this is not like the most positive, like, I don't know. I mean, like, there are parts of the storyline that are positive and uplifting, but there's also like, I mean, it deals with heavy stuff. I mean, like with dealing with loss and moving on and death and realizing that like, some people just don't want to be in your lives, like, or can't be in your lives. And it's just, oh God, like, but that being said, like the only real issue, that I had with it is that controlling her movement was a little awkward at times. And it took me longer than I would have liked for me to like really get the feel for like moving her around in the environment and stuff. But everything else was a delight. The music was very nice and relaxing. The visuals are pretty. I believe this came out on the Switch, earlier this year. I thought I saw something about that. I don't know if it'll ever get an Xbox release. I don't know if it warrants an Xbox release like in the future. I'd welcome it, but it's just, as I said, it's like a 3 or 4 hour game, and even though there's plenty of replayability to it, I don't know if it's not exactly something you're going to want to immediately revisit and replay, you know?
Well, it is $5.99 on mobile. It is also $9.99 on the Switch, as you mentioned. What are your thoughts on this game?
Honestly, I'd buy it. I could see it being some people, like, I mean, like, I could see it being some people's like game of the year, but it wasn't that far along for me. But I enjoyed it, and I definitely recommend checking it out, especially for that price point on both mobile and Switch.
Cool. All right. Well, that's it for you.
Woo!
Finally, Aki's like about goddamn time.
Well, I mean, anytime I open my mouth, she's like, "Oh my God, when is he leaving?"
Yeah,
for the most part.
Fair. All right, do you have any final words before you head out?
Nah.
Helpful.
I mean, there's Farfad Nugan. I don't even know why Aki, like, you know, is just like, son of a bitch. I don't even know how the heck that actually came up initially, so at this point, I just keep saying it.
Because I used to say it all the time as a kid, and why? I brought that up once. I don't know, because it was funny to say.
Oh, I was not present for that conversation, I believe. So I don't know.
I used to eat the little Fig Newton candies, and I called them Farfig Newtons because it was amusing.
I miss like the they used to make like strawberry Newtons. I miss
those.
Yes,
they did. Those were delicious.
Yeah, I really wish they'd bring those back. Because I think all they do now is just the fig Newtons, don't they?
Yeah. Those are the only ones I've seen for years, and that's boring. Yeah, I don't like those ones. I like the flavored ones, the blueberry, the strawberry, and I think there was an apple for a while.
Yeah. There used to be apple. Apple was okay. It wasn't anything to get excited about. But
I loved them all. They were good.
Oh, yeah. No, like I fucking love fig Newtons, which now I'm just like...
As long as they're not fig flavored. Those ones suck.
What, you mean normal ones?
Yeah, I don't like normal ones at all.
Oh, normal ones are great.
Ugh. I don't like them.
Yeah.
I like.
Well, this conversation sucks. Jacob, get the hell out of here.
You suck. Hey, what? I don't know why you're so upset about Fig Newton talk. If anything, they'd be like one of the few foods that you're able to chew without assistance.
Gum them. Yeah.
That would just get stuck to the roof of his mouth. He'd never get that shit out. He can't eat that. That'd be like giving him a thing of fucking peanut butter. That's mean.
Hey, I've been having peanut butter milkshakes quite frequently. They soothe my mouth. All right, we got to move on. Next game to talk about is The Sorrow Virus, a faceless short story developed by Adam Sklar in East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released April 27th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $14.99. On the verge of death of a life unlived, Wyatt Hale was given the sorrow virus by his parents, a substance that suspends the human soul in purgatory after death, allowing them to heal due to purgatory's mysterious properties. As he ebbs, Wyatt's only desire is to be free forever. Aki, what's going on in the sorrow virus?
Okay. You play as Wyatt, and he is fucked. So incredibly fucked. And it's basically a walking sim as well, but better than the other one, it appears. you walk around, and occasionally you can find like little notes that give you a bit of backstory, because pretty much the entire backstory that you listed is what they tell you in game, and all the rest of it you need to find these file folders that give you some information. Some of them are important and they're blue. Other ones are, and I think the blue ones actually are required to even move on in the game even. Then there's, you know, some yellow ones that give you a little bit of extra information. And then there's red ones that tell you things you need to know, usually in order to solve a puzzle or something, to which I only found two of them. And then there's a green one, but I don't remember what that talked about, because otherwise you move in between purgatory and the real world throughout the game. And so, like, let's say there's a wall in front of you in the real world. If you go into purgatory, there might not be one, so you can just walk the fuck through. So that's pretty fun. There's four different endings for the game, and you have to play through the game four times. You don't have to get each of the different endings. You just have to play through it four times. Oh,
endings. I thought you said there's four different endings. I'm like, what the hell does... What?
No, endings. No.
Endings. All right.
Yeah. I don't know what all the endings are. I've only gotten one, because you don't actually have to get any of them. Well, I guess technically you have to get one of them, whichever one. Because you actually need to play through the game three or four times as part of achievements. Not for getting endings, just for going through it. After you beat it, some enemies, I use heavy quotations for that, appear in the level. And basically the enemy things don't do anything. They just stand there. If you touch them, you die. But if you don't touch them, they don't move or anything. So... really hard to call them enemies. but basically each ending is just how Wyatt deals with the situation. Like one of them, he's trying to free the spirits, because he's not the only one who was put through this purgatory place. There are other people, because they experimented with this, with the sorrow virus before it got to him, because it's his family that's doing it, because, you know, people have to do illegal human experiments somewhere, and they always do it for something, and a dying son, I guess, is one of those things. So one of them, he's trying to free their souls from purgatory permanently so they can just fuck off and die finally, or I guess, or maybe they come back. I don't know. It doesn't really explain. And then, you know, there's some other ones. I don't know what all they are. But yeah, so it's pretty simple. Lots of the points in it are just walking, finding a walkie-talkie or some other item so you can switch in between purgatory and the real world, so you can move something and then walk further. Occasionally, there's little seek and find type things where you have to go find little dolls that exist in the world and stuff like that. And it won't let you move forward until you've collected them all and found like a whole bunch of candles. And now suddenly, since you found them all, poof, here's a door. Now you get the fuck off. Yeah, that's a majority of the game right there. It's just that, just walking and finding items until you found all the items it told you to find so you can walk some more.
Well, it's yeah. $15. What do you think?
Well, if you're actually seeing all four endings, and I don't know how easy it is to get all four of them because I kind of got one at random. I don't know how I got it or how I get the others. If you're going for all those, I think it's worth the price. If you're just doing the same one over and over, the game isn't particularly amazingly exciting. And since you don't need to do it for achievements, I don't know if people will. Because I think they might just go for the same one three or four times in a row and be done with it. And at that point, I mean, yeah, the achievements are easy, but man, that'd be boring as shit. But if you're going for everything, actually trying to see everything the game has, reading all the stuff, I think it's interesting enough that 15 is worth it.
Cool. All right. One final game to talk about tonight is called Super Mambo Quest, developed and published by Oru Game Studio. Released April 29th on Xbox One for $12.99. Super Mambo Quest is an action-packed precision platformer, a Metroidvania with classic arcade mechanics featuring some crazy combat, challenging combos, and plenty of collectibles, all in a huge interconnected world. Aki, both of us played this. What is this game about?
You play as Mambo, this mentally handicapped purple
Jesus
thing. I don't know what you're supposed to be, other than mentally handicapped. And you are somehow, for some reason, the hero of this story. I don't really know what the story is. Apparently there's a bad person and they're doing bad things or something. I don't know, because the opening didn't really explain anything to me. And basically you're going around stomping on poor woodland critters' heads to kill them, and you're trying to do that before a combo meter goes out in each level in order to get a coin. You're also trying to collect these purple crystals that are super pretty, that are all over the place. Collect them all in each little section of the map before you move on, and you get a coin from that too. Yay. And the coins eventually allow you to unlock pathways to continue further in the game or to get extra crystals and stuff. And everything is very much split up into, you're in this little area on this map, do what you need to do in it. And when you get to the next area, now you see a new tiny chunk to the map, and it just keeps doing that. Which is nice. I like that. So it's kind of Metroidvania ish in that way. And yeah, it gets a little more Metroidvania.
That they took a Meat Boy style precision platformer and made it Metroidvania ish. And allowed kind of like a world to explore. You don't see that often in these kind of games.
Yeah, and this doesn't suck as bad as Super Meat Boy does. So
you don't like Super Meat Boy?
No, it is way too fucking hard. I hate that game.
Wow, I'm not even a fan of hard games, and I beat like the original Super Meat Boy. Like,
how?
I just kept going, and I beat the main game. I didn't beat the Dark World. Fuck that. But I beat the main story campaign of Super Meat Boy, so suck it.
Yeah, I never bothered to play it on the console because I played it back when it originally came out on Kongregate's website. And fuck that. I was so bad at that fucking game. Yeah. So if you're like, oh, Super Meat Boy, nothing like Super Meat Boy. This game is significantly easier in every aspect. Think, fuck. At least so far it's been for me. I've gone through three different worlds, I guess. Three different biomes, whatever you want to call it. And each one of them has their own unique enemies.
Unique.
Yeah, and I use that specifically because they're not just reskinned of the exact same fucking enemy. They're actually completely different enemies, which is fantastic. They behave somewhat similarly, but they're different, so it's okay. Like, in the first area, you have flies, and they just go back and forth, and eventually you get some birds that have noses that are knives. It's weird. But in the second area you go to, you have like giant fluff balls that have sparks sticking out of them or something. I'm not sure what the fuck they're supposed to be.
It's got great character design and great visuals. I think it's got really solid pixel art, really good backgrounds. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, very much so.
Just really, really cool designs. And as you're explaining the enemies, I mean, that kind of stands out that it's just weird.
Yeah. At the beginning, some of the enemies look, you know, kind of realistic. But very quickly, it gets to, what the fuck is this? and you'll even find that later on in the second half of, like, the first world. And every one of them is fairly sizable. I might add, if you want to go everywhere, it's a lot. And you can even look at you can pop up your map with the Y button on Xbox. I don't know what the fuck it is on anything else because I
doesn't
obviously
matter.
Fuck everything else. Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, and it pops up and you can see it and you can see how all the levels are connected to each other. And if you're like, oh, this one's two things high, you may not be able to access the upper half of it because you might have to go in through the top to reach that part, but you at least know how big it is at that point, which allows you to grasp, okay, there's probably a bunch of things sticking off of this bitch. Let's find all the pathways. So yeah, that's like one of the most fun bits of it for me, is like just finding the various pathways and getting to the end. And it's, you can also buy upgrades and stuff for your character. All those purple crystals you collect are actual money that you get to send in. And the great thing is you can just go in and out of one little piece of the map and collect all the purple things over and over and over and just keep getting more fucking money. So once you collect it once, it's not like it's gone. It changes color telling you, oh, you like if you've collected all of the purple things on this section of this map
and you get your transparent coin, you could yeah
they become transparent at that point, but they still count when you collect them. You still get the money, so you can just sit there and farm money for as long as you want.
I'm guessing you did that.
Totally didn't do that. No, never. Not in a million years. I haven't done that numerous times. Things cost a lot of money, though, so that's not a good idea. It takes a long time.
Well, it sounds like you enjoyed this one a lot more than you thought you would.
Yeah, I when you first offered this to me, I was like, that doesn't really look like my. I was expecting it to be a lot harder because, like, lots of the pictures and stuff that I saw for it, I was like, oh, this looks like this is going to be one of those, like kind of like the old Rayman levels where you have to do everything to a rhythm and be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what this game looked like to me. I was like, no.
It's a lot more forgiving than I thought it would be.
Yeah, this is significantly better than what I thought it was, because it's a completely different game. it does sometimes get kind of irritating, especially at the beginning, because you can get hit by one thing and it pops your little health balloon that you carry around with you. And then if you hit anything else, you die and you start back at whatever doorway you entered into that room, which is fine. You lose all your stuff that you picked up in that room before you died. But if you do that enough times, you run out of lives, and then you get teleported back to your last checkpoint area, which could be forever the fuck away, because those are not play. There's not enough of those, in my opinion, around the map. I've gone and been teleported about half the fucking map away, and I'm like, I don't like that. But other than that, it's generally pretty good. That's the only thing I don't like about it, is that there's not enough checkpoint areas. If you ran out of lives and you were just placed back at the start of this area, I'd be okay. Like, every time you die, how you start there. If it did that when you hit zero lives and just kept you there anyways, I'd be fine with that. Because it's not like you're losing anything more. You just now have to go through a whole bunch of other fucking levels. It's just tedium. I'd rather just constantly start there over and over and over, just so I'm not wasting as much time.
Yeah, the mechanic of lives, I think, has kind of worn out its welcome, and we could do without those. Just let us continue on.
Yeah, that was really my only issue with the game so far. Granted, I've only seen like 3 worlds out of like 8 or so, I think. Yeah.
Well, it's $12.99. What are your thoughts?
I'm all for it. I think most people are going to enjoy this game.
Cool. All right, that is it. We're done with this episode. Yay!
I can't wait until Tuesday.
You're just so excited to talk about Yomi, aren't you?
Yes, I want to talk about it so fucking bad. You have no idea.
No, that is...
Actually, you have a pretty good idea, but...
That is in the future. We will, I believe we're going to be having some interviews starting back up again. It's been a while. I've been trying to let my mouth heal before I had people on to sound stupid around. But yeah, I think we're going to have some interviews coming up, and things are going to be fun.
With the Trek to Yumi guys?
No.
Oh.
No. Some other games, though. Good stuff. Okay. You'll see. It'll be fun. I promise. And that is a promise that I cannot keep. Aki, do you have any final words to end the show?
Fuck Jacob. He's a fucking douche.